It is. Welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is what happens when we take a few weeks off. This is episode 16, winter ales, ales all the way. It is definitely the season based on the snow I've got outside. I'm here with my co-host, my regular co-host, Robbie Rass. Robbie, what's going on?
What's up, man? Regular co-host.
Regular co-host, promotion.
Every show, there's a little promotion. I like that.
So, I mean, we've done beers in the past. Most of our beer shows have been pretty good. I think one of our better shows was the cocktail show, but as you can see by my digs, I'm in a friend's, very gracious friend's place to do the show because it's too cold outside for me to be recording in the patio. So not so much for you in California.
Yeah, it's not too bad. We actually had, we've had some weather this past week. It's been a little bit rainy, but we need that, so... I think today it's like, I don't know, 55 degrees, but it's kind of humid, still overcast, everything, it's fine. I could run around in shorts if I wanted to, but I don't. I'm still here in a beanie and a hoodie, so it's all good.
So today we're going to be doing winter ales. I decided to go with a Corona, Unicron Corona Viva. I actually haven't smoked a Corona Viva before. I've certainly smoked my fair share of Unicrons. The Corona Viva is kind of the... at least in a lot of circles, the preferred sizing for the Unicron. A lot of people feel that the blend is best in this size. I went with this because it's a little bit peppery, a little bit more full body. I think it's going to stand up to the winter ales. And I have gone with a selection of three winter ales, which I've kind of went through and I ranked based on their IBU, which I'll get into. If you watched our previous episodes, you know what the IBU is. What do you got going on today? What are you smoking?
You caught me here. I'm putting my headset. I'm smoking. I did the same thing as you. I wanted something a little bit more bold, a little bit more peppery. So I went with My Father, Les Bijoux. This actually, I haven't smoked one of these cigars in so long. I went with the torpedo size. This thing's got about maybe 3 years on it. Wow. It's been sitting in my humidor, and I was looking through. I was actually going to go with the Corona Viva as well, because that's actually my favorite size in the Undercrown line. It's a little bit different blend than the standard sizes, but it really does shine in that size. And I was looking for one and I couldn't find one. I had a bunch of the torpedoes or whatever size that is, and while I was looking for that, I found this and I thought, hey, what the hell? I'll smoke this. I haven't smoked it in a long time. But it's, it's got a couple of years on it, and it's really, really smooth right now. So yeah. I'm hoping that it'll stand up to some of these beers.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Bijoux because it does have some pepper to it, but it is smooth. I can definitely see it losing a little bit of that pepper bite after a couple of years. But, I mean, that cigar is a regular in my humor. I mean, I'm sure I have at least 20 or 30 in any given time.
Your audio sounds a little bit funky, man.
Like hollow?
Yeah, kind of like you're underwater a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably because I'm recording in a garage as opposed to on the patio, so, you know.
It sounds better now. I think you're just too far away from the microphone.
Could be. Well, I'll just make sure to sit up and proper and...
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on Front Street. It was just, I was having a hard time understanding you.
Oh, it's good. It's good because our listeners have to understand me. If all they're hearing is Charlie Brown for the rest of the episode, that's not going to be too good.
Wah, 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 wah. There is a. Can you see? There's a ton of smoke coming off this thing.
Man, that thing is putting up more smoke than my Undercrown.
It is smoking. This is smoking really nice, man. Wow. I hope it stands up to these. I really do hope it stands up to these beers. So we're going with we're doing winter ales, as you mentioned. We've done a couple of beer shows. And I think they've been, like you said, some of the more interesting shows, but they're also some of the more highly viewed shows because there's a lot of people out there, a lot of beer fans out there. And there's just so many different types of beer. to take a show like this, like we focused on pumpkin ales, focus on winter ales, which pumpkin ale is a bit more specific. Winter ale is really pretty much anything anybody wants to call a winter ale, as far as I know. I mean, there's seasonal releases. I mean, Of these four beers that I've got here, I have four. We got four beers, right?
I actually went with three beers, so you're gonna.
Well, maybe I'll leave one out, or maybe I'll double up. Who knows? But of all these beers that I got, they're all very different. I've got a double ale, which I really like double ales. I've got a spiced winter ale. I've got an ill-tempered gnome. You gotta like that.
That sounds like, good. It's got a gnome in the title. That sounds
yeah, good. And a bad elf. So it's a lot of angry little guys running around. So what are we gonna start with here?
I'm gonna start with Vertical from this is from Tree Brewing out of Kelowna. I think I featured them on the show before because I love their beers. They were founded in 1996. Brewmaster is Dave. I'm going to butcher his name, Dave Gupiert. And this is, I don't know what style this is. It's an ale. It's 5%. I mentioned before, as the show was starting, IBUs. IBUs, of course, is international bittering units, or really how much hoppy flavor you're getting out of a beer. So I'm going from least hoppy to most hoppy. That's kind of how we do scotches. We go from, you know, sweetest to strongest, or highly scotches. I think it'll serve me well for beer. So this has got an IBU of 20.
Oh, wow.
It's not very hoppy, just slightly. You can kind of see in the color here, you know, it's got that gold amber color next to my second beer, which is a little bit darker.
A little more reddish, yeah.
And lastly, the one which is almost double. And you can see in the color, it's pretty obvious. This is 60, this is 20. You can see it's quite dark.
Oh, wow. So I actually, while you're mentioning that, I was looking over here, and I know you've talked about IBUs in the past, and two of the beers that I picked up actually have the IBUs on the bottle. In the past, they haven't. The one that I was going to start with, and maybe I won't now, has an IBU of 65.
Woo! Yeah.
That was actually what I was going to start with, and now I might just have that one last. And that's the... that's the ill-tempered gnome. It means business. This other one that I've got here, it's actually kind of funny. The Slayer Ninkasi Brewing in Oregon, Eugene, Oregon. Its IBU is 50. What's Original Gravity? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, so... if I recall correctly, and I'm sure I'm going to get this wrong, the gravity of the beer was the amount of solids in the beer. So the higher the gravity, the more dissolved solids.
Okay.
I know we went over in a previous show, but only one of my beers had a gravity listed, so I kind of skipped gravities for the show. But, if I recall correctly, the grads. And if you're out there listening, feel free to correct us. Email us, John at cigarfederation.com, Rob at cigarfederation.com. The higher the percentage gravity, the denser the beer is.
Yeah, because these both have, well, the Slayer here has the original gravity of 1,068.
That's
I don't know what that means, really. And then the other one here, it's got the OG, which I assume is the original gravity. It's 15.5%. So those are very different numbers.
Yeah, I've always seen it represented as a percentage, so it's interesting that the other one has a unit measure. I think... The gravity of the densest beer I have here is like 8% or 10%.
Okay.
So I suspect that the beers you have there with the higher gravity are going to be quite dark and quite thick.
Yeah, the double ale I would assume is, but I haven't poured out. I haven't poured these yet. So what I'm going to start with, I'll start with the Bad Elf. I had to go with the Bad Elf. It's a 6% alcohol winter ale. And this is from... what brewer is this from? It's from England. It is Ridgeway Brewery. Oh, and you can actually email Santa at ridgewaybrewery.co.uk and send him your wish list. So I'm going to start with this one. Based on the pour, it looks like it was a good choice.
That's
pretty
cool.
Golden.
Light. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about, like I said, 6% alcohol. Let's see, it's... I want to read all the ingredients. Special Christmas beers brewed in England, blah, blah, blah. That's pretty much it. We'll see.
Well, I'm digging this Vertical so far. It's not heavy. It's got a little bit of vanilla to it. Not a lot of spice, or maybe if it has spice, it's being run over by the underground. it's tasty, it's refreshing. You know, there is a hoppiness to it, but it's very light. I mean, I have to reach for it, especially next to the center crown, to pick that up. So so far we're off on a good start. I think this is a, you know, an enjoyable pairing.
I think our beers are similar. This is very light. Well, not very light, not like Coors Light, but it's a light flavored beer, light texture. It's not very heavy. It's fruity. There's a lot of fruity notes in there. Not really citrus. Almost like a cherry type note, like a dried cherry.
Kind of makes sense to me. If you're talking winter ales, you probably want to incorporate that sort of Christmas cake, malty, dried fruit flavor to it, I would think. But I don't know anything about brewing beer, so.
It kind of washes out the flavor of the cigar, and I feel like all of these beers are. I was really anticipating this cigar because I remember it in the past being really, really spicy.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess after 3 years, it calmed down a hell of a lot.
So this Underground is quite fresh. I haven't let this sit at all. So this has definitely got pepper, although definitely less than like the Robusto or Toro size. It's balanced, which is nice. And again, I think, you know, it's because of the pepper in it, the vanilla in this winter ale is really playing off it nicely. It calms it down. So I would say this is definitely a winning pairing so far. I could definitely see myself finishing this vertical and not being able to drive for the next 2 hours.
That's what I was thinking when I'm cracking open all these beers and I'm looking, and it's like 6%, 6.8%, 7.2, 7.9. Like, wow, this is going to be a... Luckily, I don't have to drive anywhere.
I am talking. So what's interesting for me about this tree brewing beer is they actually list the type of hops in it, which I don't think I've ever seen that before. So they list Pearl hops with an E and Cascade hops. I don't know if that means anything to anybody out there, but it does not mean anything to me because I certainly do not know my hops.
Yeah, I'm looking. I could read down the list of ingredients here, but a lot of this doesn't look like English, man. We've got some umlauts. And when I see umlauts, I don't really know how to pronounce it. So the pairing actually is pretty nice. I don't feel like one overpowers the other. I know I said that this is kind of running over the cigar, but after taking a couple more puffs and really focusing on a retrohale, I really do still get that bold spice on the retro that you're going to expect out of a Pepin blend. And it actually balances pretty nicely with the fruity texture of this beer, the fruity flavor. This is the kind of pairing that in the moment you'll enjoy it. Well, I'll speak for myself. In the moment, I'll enjoy this, but at the end of this show, this probably isn't the pairing that I'll remember. It's fine, but it's not like, hey, these really do enhance each other and I need to do this again. So
I think I would mirror that. I mean, my pairing is good, but it, you know, it wouldn't blow me away. And like you said, at the end of the show, I'm not going to go running for another winter, this vertical and this particular cigar, although the beer is great and the cigar is great. This pairing is good, but it's not blowing me away. It's not rocking my socks off.
Yeah, I feel like I'm contradicting myself, but with every additional sip and then every additional puff of the cigar after that, it gets a little bit better every single time.
Our viewers can hear with every word as you get more intoxicated.
Yeah, it's all this beer is great. No, it's pretty good. I mean, I like this beer. I've had it before. It's a yearly release. They do the Bad Elf, and they also do Santa's Butt Porter. I saw that. I didn't pick it up because I didn't really feel like going the whole porter route. I figured that would be so different from any of the rest of these, which kind of encapsulates the statement that I was making earlier that a winter ale is really whatever anybody wants to call it, as far as I can tell. If you have a porter and you just put Santa on the bottle, all of a sudden it's a seasonal winter ale. But yeah, there's nothing seasonal about it. This is a nice beer. I mean, I feel like this is something I could drink in the middle of summer and still find it refreshing.
So that takes us to our first break here. You're listening to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 16, Winter Ales on the way. You're here with your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, and my regular co-host, Robbie Raz. Thanks to all listeners out there. Thanks to our Fedheads, and thanks to our podcast listeners. We know you guys are tuning in, and we appreciate that. Anyone out there want to sponsor the show, because we do spend quite a lot of money on liquor and cigars, you know, feel free to contact me, john@cigarfederation.com, rob@cigarfederation.com, or MFNCAO if you want to do some advertising at logan@cigarfederation.com. Thanks for tuning in.
So just to let everybody know who's listening and watching, we are going to do a giveaway at the end. I don't know what I'm going to give away. I don't know how I'm going to choose it, but pay attention because something's going to come up at the end and you'll have to have paid attention to know what's going on.
Look at you getting into the Christmas spirit, being
so. Why not? I've got you know the Robbie Raz treasure vault is brimming with all kinds of goodies in there. So I don't know what's going to be in the package that I sent out. It might be, you know, some really good cigars. It might be a 5-pack or something that's the same. It might just be a total hodgepodge of stuff. It might be an ashtray. Who knows? I got a bunch of stuff in there.
Is that like the Disney vault where it only opens for, you know, a couple times a year?
Yes. I don't know about the Disney vault, but I think it's going to be, we'll probably start opening that vault for just about every show, I think, because there's a lot of stuff in there. I've actually got a lot of fun stuff in there that I kind of forget that I've had, you know, from giveaways that we've done in the past, or, you know, leftover stuff from old Cigar Chat shows, or, you know, what have you. So there's a lot of different stuff floating around in there that we'll be giving away moving forward. So anyway, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm gonna move right along to my second beer, since we're in our second segment here. A regular on the show for me, Granville Island. You know, I pretty much love everything they put out. This is a really old brewery for Canada, 1988. As I understand it, they're one of the first microbreweries, or 1984, pardon me, first microbrewery in Canada. This is 5.5% IBU of 22. Now, what's interesting for me, Granville kind of went a little. They must have known we were coming because they actually have pairing recommendations on their page, which I thought was cool. And the three pairings they list are cocoa bread pudding, pan roasted pork chop with wild mushrooms, and scallop and bacon chowder.
So, scallop and bacon chowder sounds fantastic.
Right?
I've never had that or heard of it, but that sounds amazing.
Now, if you go to their website, you can actually get the recipes for all three of those pairing options. And, I mean, I think that's above and beyond for a brewery. I mean, you know, it's great putting a pairing recommendation. It's definitely a step above putting an actual recipe on there.
That's pretty awesome. I'm going to have to check that out because that sounds like something that I would enjoy. I know my wife would like it. I could probably talk her into making it.
I'm a huge fan of scallops and bacon. I mean, you can't go wrong with scallops and bacon. So,
talk about good pairings. So I'm going to go in. My second beer here is going to be I'm going to go with the Ill-Tempered Gnome, which, I mean, I don't know if you guys can see that. I got a lot of residual sunlight going here.
Definitely see it.
There he is, Ill-Tempered Gnome. Winter Ale, Oakshire Brewing out of Eugene, Oregon. I'm repping Eugene, Oregon a lot because I got another one here. IBUs are 65, so I think it's going to be pretty hoppy, 6.8% alcohol. This is. I feel like this one's going to be pretty serious. It's definitely darker than the Bad Elf. So let's give this one a shot here.
So I think what's interesting is that I also have my third beer is from Oregon, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. My first few sips of the Granville Island. More what I would expect in my mind from a winter ale, so it's baking spices, no vanilla in this one. It's a little bit heavier, so more full body, but still in the medium range for a beer, I think. Maybe a bit of a better pairing because I'm sort of getting the baking spices against the creamy and the pepper of this underground.
Yeah, this pairing is a winner. This beer is really, really interesting. In the first sip that I took, it tastes like toast with some raspberry jam on it. Like that's exactly what it tastes like.
you're gonna be accused of being a pairing hipster with those kind of pairing notes.
You know? But that's what it. I mean, you know, well, raspberry jam has a very distinct, or preserves or whatever. I don't know what the difference is, but has a very distinct flavor to me. It's almost bitter. It's a fruity flavor, but it's almost bitter, and that's what this tastes like. And that's the main thing that I'm getting out of it. And it's, I mean, obviously, I'm already one beer in, and about three quarters of, or a quarter of the way through the cigar, so my palate might be a little bit shot, but this is really interesting. It even smells really fruity, but it's a heavy fruit. It's not a light fruity like a cider type fruit. It's much more jammy.
I think the difference with a preserve is that you have less sugar in it. So where a jam has a lot of sugar added, a preserve is more of a fruit character, so you're getting a lot more full-bodied fruit flavor to it.
Okay, so then I must be thinking of preserves, because they're kind of, you know, like a raspberry, you spread it on the bread, and it's still got the little seeds in there, it's kind of gritty.
Yeah.
That's the flavor. Not necessarily the texture, but that's the flavor that I'm getting. And this pairing is really, really interesting. The spice on the retro from the cigar marries really well. It balances out that fruit note. Wow, I'm really excited about this pairing. This is really good.
I'm also really enjoying my second pairing. As I sort of get into this, the Granville is actually causing the sweetness of the underground to come out a lot more. Where with the first pairing, I think the vanilla was really running over. The sweet, creamy flavor of the Undercrown. This Granville Island is really complementing it nicely. I think my first pairing was probably not complementary, where this is you know, definitely building off of each other nicely.
Yeah, it's, again, we've talked about that a lot, where it's the different characteristics of a pairing. It doesn't necessarily have to be complementary. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything. If you like it, who cares?
Yeah.
But I notice I say this phrase a lot. The juxtaposition of the flavors is very, very interesting. There's earthiness in the beer. There's some sweetness in the beer. There's that fruity effervescence from the beer. The cigar's got the deep earthy flavors. It's got the pepper spice on the retrohale. It really does hit all ends of the spectrum, from earth to some sweetness to some pepper. And it's really, I tried to say spice and pepper there together, as I said spepper.
Spepper.
Yeah. Hashtag that one. Spepper. I'm really excited. This is really good. I can see that when the show is done and I'm deciding what I'm going to drink with the second half of my cigar, I think it's probably going to be this. Wow.
So really I don't think my beer is quite as complex as yours. A lot of baking spices, definitely some effervescence. Like it's almost a carbonated mouthfeel to it, which is actually nice, because you know the Undercrowns and generally a lot of the Drew Estate cigars can have a fuller mouthfeel to them, like a thicker, leathery mouthfeel to them, which is good, but can kind of mute other flavors. And I think the effervescence, as you say, of this beer is kind of clearing my palate between each drink and draw.
Yeah, I definitely went on the deeper, more complex end, and I didn't necessarily do it intentionally. I just kind of walked through the shop, and whatever winter ales I saw that caught my eye, I got them. There was a full Sam Adams 12-pack, and I think it might have been 12, it was either 12 different winter ales or... Mm-hmm. Two of six different winter ales. There was a lot going on in there, and I was going to get it, but then it's like that's too much to talk about in one show. And oddly enough, my wife yesterday came home from Cost Plus World Market, and they always have those beers around the world, 12 packs or whatever. And she brought home, it's a 9-pack of different winter ales from all over the place. And so we could actually do another winter ale show. I could probably do two or three more. But there was some interesting stuff in there too. But this, I basically bought this. I judged it by its cover. I bought it because it was the Ill-Tempered Gnome, and I don't think it was expensive. I think it's a 22-ounce bottle. I think it was like $4.99. So Definitely worth it to check out Oakshire Brewing. It's oakbrew.com is their website. Check them out for sure. This is really good.
I have to say, and maybe our audience isn't necessarily aware of this, but of course, this show is funded out of our pockets, and one of the things I think I appreciate when we're deciding on what we're doing for a particular show, especially when we're talking about beers, it's nice to be able to pick up singles as opposed to a six-pack or a 12-pack. It's not that I don't enjoy beer, it's that, you know, my house is slowly getting completely full of beer and thus full of, you know, foodstuffs. And if I could pick up a single of something, that's a big deal for me, because for our show, I don't want to go four or six beers deep. I want to be able to pick up a single, do a show, pair it, enjoy it, and if I want to pick up some more later and, again, fill my house with beers, then that's what I'll do. But it's nice to have that option.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. In California, we've got a lot of wineries, and we've got a lot of breweries. Craft beer on the West Coast, really, in general, is everywhere. And I've got, you know, three or four local liquor stores that carry just a ton of beer. And a lot of the stuff that I've bought for these shows, I go in there and I buy one or two bottles of each one. The problem is, some of the stuff that I like that the Aphrodite, the Canadian beer that we did, the chocolate stout, that cost me like $7 just for one 12-ounce bottle. So it's not cheap. I can buy one, but it's like buying, it's what a six-pack costs. Anyway, I do like that option to be able to pick up one. I'm going to move on to my next beer here, because I did break the rules and I got four. So I'm gonna jump you a little bit.
That's all right. I'm gonna talk about our next segment here. We're at our second segment. So thanks again for our live listeners. Although we kind of tricked you a little bit with doing a recorded in advance showing because I'm a baby and don't want to smoke in weather that's below 20 degrees freedom.
Yeah, but sack up, dude.
It's cold, man. Like I can't feel my fingers. I can't feel my balls. It's not good smoking weather. I just came back from Cuba, actually, and that is perfect smoking weather. And if I could do a show there, I'd be more than happy, but I got to do a show here, so I need some heat, and I need to be able to feel my balls by the end of the show. So I appreciate you guys tuning in at a regular time of Wednesday. I appreciate our podcast listeners. Again, if you're interested in sponsoring the show, maybe taking some of the expense away from us, we would definitely appreciate it. If you've got any pairing suggestions, please send them to us, john@cigarfederation.com, rob@cigarfederation.com. And, of course, if you have any questions, feel free to post them to our page. We'll try to get to them. It might be in the next show, but we'll do our best. So we're talking about cost there, and we're going to have some more beer shows coming up, some stout shows. We're going to have a rogue-specific show. What was interesting is for the stout show coming up, we're talking about cost. And man, you can go like I'm dropping $30-$40 for three, four beers for a show.
Wow.
Yeah, especially when you start getting the stouts and the rogue stuff. I mean, yeah, it's $6, $7, $8 a beer.
Which one of us is gonna get the bacon donut rogue ale? Is that gonna have to be me?
You know,
somebody's gotta do it in the big pink bottle.
Have you had it before?
I have not. We're getting off topic. We can talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next show. But there's a lot of different beers to choose from. And I think we can probably find something better than the bacon donut.
I don't know. I might have to do it. But that's in the realm of one of those. It's it's probably a 22-ounce bottle, which I think most of these are. I think it was like $17.99. So it's not cheap. But one thing that I found for our oatmeal stout show that's coming up. From Firestone Brewing, it's a yearly release. it's called the Velvet Merkin, and it's their oatmeal stout. And I found it in the six pack, and I was stunned. It was only $7.99, and it's really, really good. But we'll get into that later. Right now, I cracked open the Slayer, which is just kind of funny.
I feel like you got to throw up some devil horns.
Just rock on, dude. This one's from. Ninkasi Brewing in Eugene, Oregon. Both of these, two of these breweries out of Eugene, Oregon. It's a dark double alt ale. I don't know what's alt about it, but a double ale. I don't know the process. Whenever I do have a double ale, it's very malty. It's a thicker, thicker flavor. It's going to have a lot of the malt flavor to it. It's really malty. There's usually some stone fruit in there that I'm picking up on whenever I have a double ale. I think it's Diamond or Black Diamond Brewery, and it's actually right here in Concord, which is where I'm living. And they do a double down, and it's really, really good. That's one of my favorite beers. I always pick up pick up one of those. By the time I'm done with it, I got a pretty good buzz going. But this one, similar style, because it's the double ale, so it's thicker, it's darker. As you can see, it's got the IBUs. The rating is 50, 7.2% alcohol. So this is a big daddy beer. The pairing is not very good. The cigar brings out a lot of bitterness in the beer, which the bitterness is going to be there, but it really highlights it. And for me, that's not really a bonus.
Did you say the IBUs was of that?
50.
So that's quite a lot.
The Ill-Tempered Gnome that I really enjoyed, that was 65. But it wasn't nearly as bitter as the flavor pairing of these two.
So I'm going with the from Deschutes Brewery, and since we're on an Oregon kick, this is from another beer from Oregon. This is from, where is this from? This is from Bend, Oregon. So this is, as the name's Deschutes is German, and their kettles, the brew kettles, are actually German built. That's kind of a thing. The first seasonal beer came out in 1988. This is the 2013 release. They do a different, which is interesting for me. They do a different cover, a locally sourced cover for this. This is the 2013 cover. I don't think the 2014's come out yet. This is 6.7%. Talk about IBUs. This is a 60 IBU, so right off the nose, I can immediately pick up a lot more hoppiness to it. What's interesting is that along with the hoppiness, I'm now starting to get a lot more of the fruits, this sort of dried stone fruit. I'm gonna try it a couple times here and see how that settles in with this underground.
Yeah, that particular beer that you're drinking was in that 9-pack that my wife picked up for me. I'm not sure if it's the 2013 or the 2014 or whatever year it is, but it's the Jubal Ale or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, it's Jubal Ale, exactly.
Yeah, they're like Jubilee or whatever. Yeah, that's definitely in there. And it was funny because I was actually going to do that one. I was going to bring that one and have it on the show, but I didn't. I'm glad I didn't because I didn't know what you had.
Keeping it fresh here on sharing our pairings.
Yeah, we definitely do. Go ahead.
So this is, it's definitely more hoppy, more contrasting than complimentary for sure, but enjoyable. I think unlike some of the IPAs we've had on the show in the past, it's not running right over the cigar. I'm still trying to get a sense of whether I'm enjoying this or not, because it takes a little bit, for the palate to adjust to the switching beers, but tasty. I'm enjoying the beer for sure.
Still trying to decide if I like it. That's funny. I moved on. That Slayer, I think it's a beer that I'll enjoy when I drink it on its own. And what I'm going to do is just, when I pop open these bottles, I know you had one in one of the previous shows that we did that had a stopper.
That's right. From Howl Sound, their growlers always come with a rubber stopper, which is really nice.
We've got some stoppers that you use for wine bottles or champagne bottles, and that's what I use on these. And if those don't fit, I'll put like some Glad, not cling wrap, but like the press and seal, which actually works pretty well. I mean, you want to stop the air from coming through, and that works. It lasts a few days, not too long. So within the we're decorating the Christmas tree tonight, so I'm sure I'll be breaking these out while that's happening.
So what's funny about that is the girlfriend commented the other day about the number of beers I had in the fridge from a previous show that had a cling wrap on the top. And I don't know if that's because I'm Scottish and cheap and I just don't want to pour the beer out, or whether I'm, borderline alcoholic, but I don't want to throw it out. I drop $4 or $5 for a beer, I want to keep it. So I've actually found that they'll stay up to a week in the fridge with the cling wrap on top. They don't oxidize as much. So if you do start a beer and maybe you don't want to finish it. Stopper is probably a better way to go, but cling wrap in the fridge, as long as you're not going to knock it over, it seems to be holding fine.
Yeah, that's. I do the same thing. Unless it's, we've cracked open some, or I've cracked open some beers in, for previous shows, and I just didn't like them. So, in that case, it's just, I'll put it in the fridge, and if my wife likes it, she can have it. I'll pretend like I'm going to get to it. It's like if you go out to dinner and you have some leftovers. I'm really bad about eating leftovers, unless it's like pizza or Chinese food. Beyond that, my leftovers usually don't get consumed. They'll sit in the fridge for a few days, mm-hmm. and my wife always says, why do you even ask for a box? You're not going to eat it. But I don't want, like, I feel like it's rude if I leave all the food on the plate. Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting way off topic here. But anyway, I've moved on to my fourth and final beer. This one's called the Fireside Chat from 21st Amendment, local in San Francisco. I've really been enjoying 21st Amendment lately, this year. You know, it started with the watermelon. Hell or High Watermelon Ale, or not ale, but I think it's a wheat beer, during the summer. And then for one of our other shows, I picked up that Monk's Blood from the recommendation from the guy from Wellington Brewery. I can't remember his name, but I liked him a lot. He was a cool guy.
Yep.
And that's turned out to be one of my favorite beers. So every time I see something new from 21st Amendment, I try to pick it up. And this is it's their Winter Spiced Ale. It does have the IBUs on here. The IBUs are 45. So I've kind of done these in a bad order. But 7.9% alcohol. This is a really, really big beer. It comes in cans. It comes in a 4-pack of cans, and it's not cheap. It's like $12 for 4 cans. But it's really, really good. But it is a big boy beer. You got to put your big boy pants on when you're drinking this one. And it's really strange. Smoking the cigar and drinking this, the pairing, smooths out this beer so much, and it really, really highlights the spices that are in there. Those winter, the winter baking spices, the nutmegs, and the the allspice, things like that. That's really what I'm picking up, and it really, really smooths out the beer, brings out the spice in the cigar. They balance each other out really, really nicely. This is, I thought for sure, this beer was just going to plow away through the cigar, but the pairing is really, really nice.
So talking about recommendations, that's a nice segue. I had a recommendation from a good friend, Adam. It's an app for iPhone and for Android. It's called Next Glass. I hadn't heard about this until I checked out my Facebook feed. And what this is it's a custom beer and wine recommending app. So what you do is you go through and you rate beers that you've enjoyed, or you take a picture. It'll actually identify the label on the beer and tell you if it's got it in the database, and it's a pretty extensive database. You tell it how you like that beer. You go through, you do sort of acclimates to what your taste preferences are, and then it starts recommending beers or wines based on that preference. And it's a pretty cool app. It's free, near as I can tell. Next Glass on iPhone and Android. Check it out if you're a big wine drinker or beer drinker, see if it comes up with some good recommendations. I haven't really tried it until today, but I thought I'd mention it because it's interesting.
You know, I've actually heard of that, and you may have even been the person who told me about it, but just recently I heard about it, and I haven't checked it out. I'm not a big app user. I don't know if that makes me old or what, but with the apps on my phone, I've got my weather app that I check. I've got check my email, my bank account, stuff like that. And fantasy baseball or fantasy football, that's the extent of my app usage. I don't get too much into games and that kind of stuff. It's like I have to contribute to it, like having like an online humidor or something like that where you're updating what you've got. I know you've got one, John, that you're on top of. I'll do a really good job of starting it, and that's it. Like I won't update it at all. So if I look at it 6 months from now, I'll think, well, God, I've still got, I've still got 15 of those Headley Grange drumsticks, and I looked through my humidor, and I don't have any left because I smoked all 15 of them, and I didn't update my thing. But that app actually sounds like something I would actually use because I like the sauce.
Well, and I think the benefit is, and for me personally, I stand in a liquor store, and whether it's wine or beer, I have no idea what it is. I have no idea what it's like. I mean, I can't possibly drink 1,000 beers. So I think the benefit is you pick it up and you go, I don't know whether I'm going to like this, take a picture of it, and it tells you, based on the preferences, yeah, you're probably going to like this, and it actually gives a percentage rating of how it thinks you're going to enjoy this.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
I'm gonna try it out as I go to my local liquor stores here and see what comes up with. Talking about apps, I do use CigarGeeks.com to track my cigar inventory because I would lose my mind if I didn't. It's a little OCD, but it's more that I have no idea what I have. So in order for me to keep my sanity, I have to go through and track everything. I also use WhiskeyBase.com for all of my whiskey, which is an ever-growing collection. It's a good way of me not buying the same bottle two or three times if I've still got a closed bottle in my cabinet.
With whiskey, I don't have, my cabinet's not that big. So I know what I've got. And I tend to, with whiskeys, scotch, I tend to have one or two bottles on hand that are open, that are in the process of being consumed. Usually around Christmas, I'll buy something for myself, and I usually get a bottle for Christmas from my wife and then one from my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is a total sweetheart. She will always find something that I've never tried before and give me that for Christmas. And she always has a bunch of cool stuff on hand when I go up. We go up there to visit for Christmas. We're actually going the week after Christmas this year due to our schedules. But she'll have some beers up there. She was the person who bought me my first chocolate stout. I had never had chocolate stout and showed up one year for Christmas, and she had all these Young's double chocolate stouts, and I went nuts over those things. But with the scotch and the whiskey, I've got one or two bottles open, and that's about it. But the bar is full of, if there's any kind of mixer that you need, or any kind of, my wife is good at buying stuff that we'll use once and for one particular cocktail, and it's like $40 for the bottle, but she buys it, and then it just sits there. I like that.
Well, we all need enablers in our life. So, if there's people in your life buying beers for you, buying whiskeys for you, Christmas is a good time for it, for sure. I think my problem with, at least as far as bourbon and whiskey goes, is that I like variety. So what ends up happening is I've got scotch acquisition disease, just like cigar acquisition disease. I keep buying bottles, although I am at a purchase freeze right now because, I just don't have the room and I need to sell my condo, get into a house, and stop relying on friends' charity to enjoy a show in warmth. And I think when I get a house here, move from my condo, that we'll be able to do that a little bit better.
That's funny, man. I've run into a couple of really good pairings for this show. These Les Bijoux, if you've got some of these that have been sitting around for a little while, this thing ages really, really well. And this is a cigar that you can find online really cheap. I mean, I'm assuming. I remember when you going to different auction sites and things like that, you can find these for a song. And mainly in that Petite Robusto size, which is a nice size. This happened to be the Torpedo. And to be honest, I don't remember where I got this or if I bought it or if I got it in a trade or whatever, but I know it's been sitting in there for at least 2 years. But wow, it's turned out to be a really, really good cigar. And two of these pairings, man, with this Fireside Chat and that's from 21st Amendment Brewing, and the Ill-Tempered Gnome from Oakshire Brewing. Very different pairings. The Fireside Chat it feels more seasonal. It's got those baking spices in there that you're going to find in the winter stuff. And it almost reminds me, when I'm tasting it now, it almost reminds me of the spices that we were pulling from those pumpkin ales when we did that show. A lot of that same type of stuff. Very smooth flavors. When you combine the two, it brings out a lot more sweetness in the beer, which, balances really well with the spice of the cigar. Really, really good pairing. I don't know which one I like better. I think I like them both a lot. I think I'll revisit both of them. I don't know how many more 2-year-old Les Bijoux I've got lying around, but the pairing is really, really nice. And I imagine even if it were a fresher cigar, it's going to have a little bit more spice, and it's just going to enhance that the balance there. So These are two really good pairings here.
I think for me, the vertical from Tree Brewing, I would probably go with fancy with a Padron, maybe a 1992 or 1990 Rocky, because I think the chocolate would go a little bit better with the vanilla in there. I think the spice of the underground doesn't really match up. It's quite good with the Jubilee Ale from the Chutes. Also quite good with the Granville Island. So I would say that they're both good. They're just good in different ways, where the Granville Island has more of the baking spices, the Chutes has a little bit more of the fruitiness to it. Each of them are good in their own way. Both good pairings. I mean, not blowing the doors off me, but enjoyable. Like I would definitely repair those again with a similar cigar, something with a little bit of spice, but not too much spice.
Yeah, my my doors have been blown by these two. These are two of the better pairings that I've come across while we've been doing the show. And one of the things that I'm liking about this show is I feel like I'm saying that every week now. Every time we do a new show, I feel like I'm finding a pairing that I really do enjoy. and that's the fun of it. And I've actually gone back and paired the almost ashamed to admit it, but I went out and bought more cream soda. And fired up another one of those the La Gloria series RS Elite, because that pairing was just so good. I really, really liked it. But this, if it's wintertime, it's cold outside, but if you're lucky enough to be in a place where it's not too cold, you can sit outside, get the fire pit going, and fire up one of these pairings would be really nice. I'm really enjoying both of these. With the Bad Elf, I would go with a cigar that's lighter in texture, maybe something like a Herrera Esteli and Lonsdale, something like that, a little bit creamier. With the Slayer, I would probably go with something like you were saying, like the Padron, something with a little bit more sweetness, a little bit more chocolate to it. Jericho Hill, something like that's got a little bit of spice to it as well that might balance out really nicely. But yeah, man, this fireside chat with this Le Bijou, I can't say enough about it. It's really good.
So let's talk a little bit about, we've got another show coming up Wednesday, December 17th, which is our Stouts 2.0. We really enjoyed our Stout show. We're going to target it a little bit more specific this time for oatmeal stouts. There's a lot of stuff to choose from. We want oatmeal stouts. We'll probably do stouts 2.0 because I think we're big fans. We're going to be doing a soda redux 2.0. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. I hope you guys tune in. That'll be, again, Wednesday, December 17th. We're kind of hitting our After Dark segment, so maybe we can just roll right into talking a little bit about NFL. How does that strike you?
Yeah, I'm kind of fed up with my 49ers at this point. So, they look good, and then they kind of, soiled themselves against the Seahawks, and they play the Raiders this week. If they lose to the Raiders, I think the universe might implode. Or my universe, anyway.
So we are recording in advance, again, because I don't want to freeze my balls off, so we're kind of talking about the week of games. Which has already occurred for people listening to this segment. But I'll just roll right into it.
They'll know right away how wrong we were, or how wrong I was. You're good at this. I'm not.
This is, I think, my third or fourth year doing cigar pools. I'm actually doing okay this year. I think my record is 128 wins, which is not bad. I think as the season goes on, it's a little bit easier to predict what teams are going to do. When you start out, the first 3 weeks are kind of a gong show. The first game of the week was Dallas versus Chicago. I did pick Dallas over Chicago. I figured Dallas would kind of hit their stride. Chicago's not doing really well this season. So you have to take my word for it. I picked Dallas over Chicago. first game of the week end is the Steelers versus the Cincinnati Bengals, which is the classic matchup. It's a divisional game in Cincinnati. I'm tempted to pick the Bengals, but every time I do that, Pittsburgh comes in and just stomps them defensively. So I'm inclined to go with the Steelers. I think the Bengals kind of disappointed me a little bit this season. I'm gonna go Steelers over the Bengals.
You know, I probably will too. This is one of those games that I feel like we're kind of force-fed towards the end of the season on Thursday night football. Is that when it is? Is it on Thursday night?
No, this is actually going to be the Sunday morning game.
Okay. I feel like we're kind of force-fed these. That's the NFL or the NFC, is it, or AFC Central? Is it Central or North?
I think it's AFC South, actually. I don't even know my divisions. It's terrible.
The divisions got all screwed up. I just remember it was like the NFC East and West, and that was all I needed. But we're old. It's a classic smash mouth, quote unquote, kind of game that'll probably, you know, go over. I don't know what the over under is, but they'll probably score a ton of points. I really dislike Ben Roethlisberger as a person, but this isn't personal. I think the Steelers are just a better team.
Okay. Next up, the Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck versus the Cleveland Browns with I think Johnny Football may or may not be starting. It's kind of questionable. I don't know. I don't think it matters. The Browns kind of hit their stride, seem to be doing well, but I don't think they're going to beat the Colts. It is in Cleveland, but I'm going to give this one to the Colts, and I think it's going to be a pretty big blowout.
Yeah, I like the Colts, but I think I like them more than their record indicates I should. I've got Andrew Luck on. I've got two fantasy football teams that made it to the playoffs, two that didn't. But the two that made it to the playoffs both have the best record, so I've got a bye this week. So that means that Andrew Luck will probably score like 80 fantasy points because it doesn't matter. I like the Colts.
Okay. Buccaneers versus the Lions in Detroit. This is a no-brainer for me. Lions kind of hitting the stride late in the season. I don't think it's going to be a blow, but I think the Lions will take this game.
Yeah, the Buccaneers kind of suck.
Yeah. Enough said?
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah.
there we go. Houston Texans in Jacksonville to face the Jags.
Wow.
No offense to either fans, but it's not a fantastic game. I think the Texans will probably win this one defensively. Probably come down to a field goal. Maybe they'll throw in Watt to catch a ball just because it's hilarious. I'm going to go with Texans versus Jacksonville. I think it'll probably go right to the end, but I'll take the Texans on that one.
This begs the question, if a football game happens and no one sees it, does it really matter? Does it happen? Like when a tree falls and there's no one around, does it make a noise?
I don't think it does make a noise.
Yeah, I don't care. I really don't. I think you're right. I think Jacksonville's just horrible. Again and again and again and again.
Baltimore Ravens versus Miami Dolphins. Dolphins with a really poor showing against my Jets, my terrible, terrible Jets, who were winning the game, almost the entire game against the Dolphins, which if you're a Dolphins fan, you won. You should be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed that your quarterback and your team did not just absolutely stomp my team. The Buffalo Bills stomped my team. The Dolphins did not. So that kind of gives me a little bit of pause. Baltimore's got a lot of injuries. It's in Miami. I'm kind of inclined to take Miami on this one. I think it's going to be a close game again. Maybe 3-point spread, 3.5-point spread. I'm going with the Dolphins, even though, you know, the fish suck. Sorry.
The game is in Miami?
We're in Miami.
Yeah, I'd go with the Dolphins, too. Are either of these teams playoff bound?
Miami might. It's going to be a lot of interesting playoff pictures for the wild card spot.
In the AFC, it's kind of all over the place. The NFC, it seems like it's a little bit more dialed in, but...
Yeah.
And then you've got the Saints who are gonna, aren't they like 4-7 and they're winning the NFC South or whatever? What a joke!
Yeah, pretty bad divisional stuff going on.
Yeah, so Miami. I think Miami win that one.
Jets travel to Minnesota to face the Vikings. Jets did show up last week, but I think the Vikings are going to take this one. The Jets might even take an early lead, but sadly, in the end, the Vikings are going to win this one.
I think this falls under another one of the outside of, no offense, I mean, who really cares?
Who really cares?
It's one of those, you're only going to be able to see this game if you live in the area. Yeah. Nobody else is going to see it. It's in Minnesota, you said?
In Minnesota.
Yeah, in a game like that, you just take the home team.
Yeah. Carolina Panthers travel to New Orleans to face the Saints. As you say with the records, neither of these teams is blowing me away. This is one of those games where I'm kind of giving a little pause because I feel like this is the kind of game where the Panthers might win. But it's in New Orleans, so again, going to favor the home team. I'm going to go with the Saints on this one.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of bad football games this weekend.
Well, it can't always be good football games. Right?
I mean, that's a bad football game that has playoff implications.
Playoff implications.
Two bad teams. I mean, I don't know. They're in the same division, right?
Yeah.
And conceivably, you got to think that Carolina has, what, two or three wins? I honestly don't know.
I don't know what the record is overall.
But it seems like if they won this game, they could be maybe winning the division or at least getting closer to it. Who cares? Saints.
Fair enough.
Jimmy Graham got 0 points last week. Zero. How is that even possible? How do you have Jimmy Graham and not get him the ball?
I don't know.
That's how you lose.
Yeah, that's how you lose. The New York Giants, who are not any better than the Jets this season, going to Tennessee to face the Titans. I'm super torn on this game. I feel like this is another game the Giants can drop. I guess my better judgment, I'm going with the Giants. I don't know what to make of this game. Again, I don't think it's going to be a good football game, but I'm going with the Giants over the Titans.
Who's the Titans quarterback now? Mellenberger or some guy like that?
I couldn't even tell you.
He's a rookie. He's got a burger in his name because I know that it was the Roethlisberger and it's like Menenberger or something. If we don't know this stuff, maybe we shouldn't be talking about football.
Well, maybe, but he's going to be flipping burgers at the end of the season if he keeps it up.
I don't know. Giants will probably win the game.
The St. Louis Rams, the surprise team this year, who started out terribly and now blowing out teams left, right, and center, against the Washington Redskins, they've got a lot of
issues.
A lot of drama. Yeah, there's drama going on with the coach, there's drama going on with the quarterback, RG3. It's in Washington. My host, another Rob, who's been nice enough to let me use his digs here to record in, huge Washington fan. He might throw something at me here, but I think the Rams are going to take this one. They've been on a roll lately. They've been putting up major, major points on the board. I think the Rams will take this one.
The Rams' defense has been playing well. I go back to fantasy football. I played one of my teams last week. I started Trey Mason, who's a running back for the Rams, and I started the Rams defense against the Raiders. And those two players, Trey Mason and the defense, combined to get me 70 points from two players. Needless to say, that team won. There's issues in Washington, man. I feel like Washington is never, ever going to be good. I feel like the Jaguars are never going to be good. The Raiders are never going to be good. These teams, like, even, used to feel that way about the Browns. At least they showed something this year.
Yeah, they had some spark this year.
But Washington's just throwing money all over the place, and nothing's happening.
Nope.
I gotta go with the Rams there.
One of the more interesting matchups, if it had been early in the season, is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs going to Arizona to face the Cardinals. Cardinals with tons of injuries, especially at quarterback position.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are going to take this one. It's going to be a clear victory for them.
I think the downfall of the Cardinals could benefit my 49ers. They might be able to squeak into the playoffs if they can win some games here. But yeah, I think you're right. I think the Cardinals started out really, really strong. And yeah, if this game happened 3 or 4 weeks ago, it would be a much better game, much more interesting to watch. But I think you're right. I think the Chiefs are starting to hit their stride. They're playing well. I would agree with you on that. The Chiefs, yeah.
The Buffalo Bills, who seemingly want to make a rally for the wild card spot, going to Denver to face the Broncos.
Woo!
Denver, man. Denver against Manning. Sorry, but you know, Bills. You can play as good a football as you want. You just can't beat Manning. He's gonna embarrass you. It's gonna be ugly.
I got it. We've agreed on every game.
Yeah.
This is my dark horse. My dark horse game. I'm gonna go with the Bills.
You're wild. You're wild and crazy.
Just go. I got nothing to lose. Literally.
All right. Okay. 49ers in Oakland for the Stabathon.
Jesus.
No joke. They've hired significantly extra police presence for this game, and for good reason. These two teams hate each other as much or more than any other teams in the league. The fans hate each other. That's right. 49ers, I think, are going to be the clear winner going into this. Oakland has just stunk the place up. They've got, I think, one or two wins for the entire season.
One.
They're embarrassing. And the 49ers are just going to stomp them into the field. It's just going to be gross and ugly. If you're an Oakland fan, don't even watch this. You know, light up a cigar, drink a stout, enjoy yourself, because watching a football game is tantamount to self-abuse.
I would really, really, and I feel like, and it's funny, I've gone back and watched some of our old shows, and I always say, this is the week the Niners are going to step up and really do something, and that week hasn't happened yet. The Niners' defense is fantastic.
Yeah.
A great defense. And when Patrick Willis comes back next year, and Navarro Bowman, who probably isn't going to come back until next year, when he comes back, they're going to have to figure out a way to be able to get all six of those linebackers on the field at one time. I mean, I've never really seen a 2-6 defense, but it might have to happen.
Just rush all the things.
Oh, because when you've got Alden Smith on the outside and the new guy Lynch, and I can't think of his first name. I can't think of his first name. He's a rookie. Those guys get pressure on the passer, and then Chris Borland is a freaking tackling machine, and that guy wasn't playing at all. And since he's taken over for Patrick Willis, I think he's leading the NFL in tackles. He is just around the ball all the time. And he reminds me of Patrick Willis. And if you get Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, all those guys, like, how do you not have them all on the field? And I'm not even talking about Ahmad Brooks, who's a great player too. So their defense is really, really strong. It's looking really, really good, even though there's a ton of injuries. If the offense could step up and figure out what the hell they're doing, the Niners could be a really good team. But they're not.
Not this season.
The offense just will not get its head out of its ass. They can't get out of their own way. I would really like to see the Niners put up 45 points. But I don't think it's going to happen. But I do think they'll win.
Seahawks travel to Philadelphia to face the Sanchez Eagles.
That's actually a good game.
I don't even know what to make of this. I mean, I feel like my gut instinct, I want to go with Seattle because it's Seattle. They're coming off the Super Bowl win. But my boy Sanchez has been lighting it up, and I don't even know what to make of that. You know, he's got some targets, he's got a good coach, he's got a good offensive line, and you know, he's. I think last week he put up two passing touchdowns and a running touchdown. Like, I don't know what to make of this. I'm not a big fan of the Eagles, but I'm really torn in this game. Against my better judgment, I'm going to go Eagles. But I don't know how to call this game, to be honest.
I mean, normally when you've got the West Coast team traveling to the East Coast, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. But the Seahawks had a few extra days. They played on Thursday night, Thanksgiving. I didn't let it ruin my night, but I did get a little upset at the TV. And I really just dislike their corner. I can't think of his name. I really just don't like him. What the hell is his name?
The Eagles?
No, the Seahawks.
Oh,
the
Seahawks.
The guy who picks off Kaepernick, like, every pass. I can't think of his name.
I don't know their defense at all. I just know their offense.
Well, he's probably the best corner in the game, and I really just I don't know. There's so many shots of him, like, egging on the crowd.
Anquan Boldin, is it?
No, Anquan Boldin's wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Yeah, no idea.
Anyway, everybody knows who he is, and I it's silly that I can't think of his name, but I just don't like him. But the fact that their West Coast team going to the East Coast doesn't really matter because they've had that extra rest. I would love to see the Eagles win this game. I really would. And I think they could. I don't think Seattle's as good as they've been in the past. When they're feeding Marshawn Lynch is when they're winning. Their defense is still really strong, but it's beatable. I think Seattle's probably going to win, but just because I want to, I'll take the Eagles.
All right. The New England Bradys face the Chargers, which probably is the game of the weekend, I think. It's in San Diego. If it was in Foxborough, it would be a different story. I'm going to go with the Patriots because offensively, they're just a juggernaut. It isn't a diss towards the Chargers because the Chargers have been playing really well, but I think offensively, the Patriots have the edge. I think what's probably going to happen is New England's going to get the Chargers to cough the ball up a couple times, and they're going to get frustrated on offense, and I think New England's going to sort of grind them out and win the game.
Yeah, as much as I want New England to start losing, they just don't.
No.
So you got to go New England. Although, San Diego's playing good. They were playing good football. Then it seemed like Phillip Rivers was hurt there for a few weeks or something wrong, or he wasn't really performing. But he came back, had a good game last week. I think it's going to be a good game. If Rivers can avoid any picks, if you can avoid the turnovers, which, I mean, duh, right? It's just like saying whoever scores, if you score more than the other team, you're going to win. If you can,
I think Rivers is prone. Like, Rivers has this thing where if he gets picked off or he turns the ball over, he gets frustrated and he kind of loses his rhythm.
It snowballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be a really good game. It could either be a really good game or a blowout. But I don't see it being a blowout with the Chargers winning.
No.
I think if it's a tight game, the Chargers have a chance, but if Brady gets a couple of touchdown passes under his belt early, it's over.
Game over.
Yeah.
The last garbage football game of the week is Falcons going to Green Bay to play the Packers. I don't even know if I need to provide a commentary here.
No, that's yeah.
Come on.
Talk about a team that's on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, they are putting up points like, forget about it. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers started doing a couple weeks ago, but he's been just lighting it up. He's had so many weapons. So many weapons in that offense. If Atlanta makes it interesting, it should be like a moral victory.
What's embarrassing is that the Falcons are winning their division right now with a 5-7 record. And if you're a fan of a team in the NFC South, you should be embarrassed.
Oh, so they're winning the division.
They are winning the division.
The Saints lost last week, right?
They lost last week. So,
they're 4-8. Yeah, there should be some kind of rule against that. If you're below 500, then, yeah, you win your division, and that's great, but you don't get to go to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blow. That's got blowout written all over it. That's your stone cold lead pipe lock.
Yeah, that's the stone cold lock of the century of the week, right there.
I think that's probably a trademarked phrase, but who cares?
Yeah. So thanks for everyone for tuning in to Stirring Our Pranks, episode 16, Winter Ales. As we always say, drink less, drink better. If you've got some pairing suggestions, feel free to feed them to us, John@cigarfederation.com, Rob@cigarfederation.com. If you throw some money our way or throw some freebies for booze or pop or whatever, hey, we're not above taking it. Take it from charity. We'll pimp your, we're whores. We will absolutely prostitute ourselves out to get points with that. Just throwing it out there. Please tune in next week for Stouts 2.0. We're going to really enjoy that show. I think both of us will be hammered by the end of that show with drinking Stouts all show.
Yeah. So I need to come up with a trivia question, though. Because I've got stuff to give away. So email me, rob@cigarfederation.com. I want you to tell me all four beers that I drank, what I'm smoking, and which pairings I like the best.
There you got it. rob@cigarfederation.com. That's open to any of our FedHead listeners and any of our podcast listeners. If you are a member of cigarfederation.com, please join us. Please sign up at cigarfederation.com. Great group.
Yeah. And in the subject line of that, put sharing our pairings, winter ales, show, whatever, winter ales, and I'll pick one or two winners and I'll contact them directly, and let them know that they won. So yeah, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Check out cigarfederation.com if you haven't done that yet. Like the sign says, join. Yeah, everybody have a good day, good holiday.
And we'll see you next week.
All right.